April is the cruelest month, breeding lilacs out of the dead land, mixing memory and desire, stirring dull roots with spring rain. Those famous lines from T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland were written in 1922. 74 years later, in 1996, the Academy of American Poets began the annual tradition of celebrating April as National Poetry Month. April 2017 also marks the beginning of New Letters on the Air's 40th year of broadcasting, so we're offsetting the cruelest month with poetry about love, not with flowery language and cliches, but with what Billy Collins strives for in his poem, Litany.
It's doing what Shakespeare does in My Mistress' Eyes Are Nothing Like the Sun. I mean, he was sick of these Petrarchan, exhausted comparisons of the lover's eyes being stars and whatnot.
We'll hear Billy Collins read his humorous litany later, after readings that include other former U.S. Poets Laureate, Charles Simic, Rita Dove, Donald Hall, Kay Ryan, and the current holder of the post, Juan Felipe Herrera. Listen to poems that reflect our complicated lives with lovers, mothers, children, and others on this special edition called The Cruelest Month, produced by New Letters Magazine at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. I'm Angela Elam. William Shakespeare and Billy Collins aren't the only ones who play with exhaustive comparisons for lovers. The Yugoslavian-born poet Charles Simic, author of more than 30 books of poetry, takes them to an almost absurd level in this early poem.
My beloved, in the fine print of her face, her eyes are two loopholes. No, let me start again. Her eyes are flies in milk. Her eyes are baby Draculas. To hell with her eyes. Let me tell you about her mouth. Her mouth's the red cottage where the wolf ate grandma. Ah, forget about her mouth. Let me talk about her breasts. I get a peek at them now and then, and even that's more than enough to make me lose my head. So, I better tell you about her legs. When she crosses them on the sofa, it's like the jailer unwrapping a parcel, and in that parcel is a Christmas cake. And in that cake, a sweet little file that gasps her name as it files my chains.
Charles Simic, reading My Beloved, now included in his new and selected poems 1962 to 2012. The Pulitzer and MacArthur winner was recorded during the Midwest Poet Series at Rutgers University in 2008, the year after he was appointed U.S. Poet Laureate. Desire is often the subject matter of poets, and there's no doubt that it's at the start of any love affair. Deborah Marquardt, who appeared at the Midwest Poet Series in 2009, is the author of several books of fiction, poetry, and essays, and has been published often in New Letters. In fact, one of her poems from the magazine was included in the Best American Poetry 2016. Unabashed about using and reusing materials in different forms and genres, she's intertwined desire and memory into this poetic longing.
Other knowledge. Somewhere in this hot city he sleeps, tangled in rough sheets, his body twisted in the shape of a question. If he knocked on this loosely hung door, I would remove the chain and answer all he asks. My skin scrubbed clean, smelling of green apples and lemons. How I want to trace with my hands the slow curve of his back. Lover, I would say, lie down on the cool sheets and let me wash the salt from your skin. How long have we held our breath, swimming deep strokes to meet in these murky waters? How long have we heard this music, soft and dark as the inside of a womb? You say you're from a large southern city, but I have other knowledge. I rattled you out of the sand with my shaker noisemakers, one egg in each hand, dancing in circles, chanting the names we use only in sleep. Did you know the Aborigine man dreams the spirit of a child, then comes home to love his wife, saying, "Today I saw a child, and now I have planted it in your womb." If you knock, the chains will dissolve in your hands. Inside, find me brewing a mixture of spearmint and cloves. Lie back. Let me trace this bay leaf, soft as a feather, down the smooth line of your stomach. In a cool, dark tongue, perhaps it will find words for us to speak, saying, love this woman. You've been adrift in the open sea for too long.
Other Knowledge, the opening poem of the book From Sweetness by Deborah Marquardt, winner of the 2000 Pearl Poetry Prize. Her 2015 collection is called Small Buried Things. A lifelong lover of music, Marquardt has CDs with the jazz poetry rhythm and blues project called The Bone People, which you're hearing now. By the way, this North Dakota native is also a fine essayist, winning the Penn USA Creative Nonfiction Award for The Horizontal World, Growing Up Wild in the Middle of Nowhere. Three of the chapters were originally published in New Letters magazine as winners in three different years by three different judges for the New Letters Literary Awards. That annual deadline is coming up May 18th. For more, visit our website, newletters.org. Finding words for us to speak is at the heart of poetry. Balancing that with poetic form is part of the challenge of writing it. Next, on this celebration of the cruelest month, we'll hear a pantun, a 15th century Malaysian form consisting of four-line stanzas written in couplets with repeating lines in an interlocking pattern. Here's Randall Mann with one poem from his book, Complaint in the Garden.
Pantun. If there is a word in the lexicon of love, it will not declare itself. The nature of words is to fail men who fall in love with men. It will not declare itself the perfect word. Boyfriend seems ridiculous. Men who fall in love with men deserve something a bit more formal. The perfect word, boyfriend, ridiculous. But partner is businesslike. We deserve something a bit less formal, much more in love with love. But if partner is businesslike, then lover suggests only sex, is too much in love with love. There is life outside of the bedroom, and lover suggests only sex. We are left with roommate or friend. There is life, but outside of the bedroom. My friend and I rarely speak of one another. To my left is my roommate, my friend. If there is a word in the lexicon of love, my friend and I rarely speak it of one another. The nature of words is to fail.
Pantun, from the book Complaint in the Garden by Randall Mann, winner of the 2003 Kenyon Review Prize. His 2009 collection, Breakfast with Tom Gunn, evokes the gay community in San Francisco where the poet currently lives and writes. His fourth poetry book, Proprietary, is due out May 2017. You're listening to The Cruelest Month, a special New Letters on the Air anthology that celebrates National Poetry Month and our 40th anniversary with poems about love. If the nature of words is to fail, the power of touch is a force that can carry us through the struggle with language and intimacy. Alberto Rios, named Arizona's first poet laureate in 2013, captures that in his book of poetry, The Theater of the Night, based on the love story of his great-grandparents, Clemente and Ventura.
I heard him with my back. He spoke to me through my back. I heard him as loudly as if he had put his mouth to my ear. The trick at first was easy enough, his writing letters and then words on the full of my skin, as I lay with him but faced away, pretending a small fight or some petulance or sleepiness. But then it was when we were standing, alone at first, and I was laughing quietly at what he was saying in this easy language. But after that he began to make me laugh too, outside, when we would stand with small groups making ourselves invisible in the crowds of the plaza. But then it was in our living rooms, standing with our parents and everyone else, standing with the neighbors all dressed up, and him saying what he was saying, loud as anything, there on my back. After all our days and months together, my back heard him better than my ears. My back understood his hands. When he spoke to me like he did and where he did, as we stood in these living rooms in front of everyone, he made my mouth make a noise. My half-words made no sense to anyone, so they would hush me. They would give me looks with their eyebrows tight and low. These noises made no sense, these small volcanic risings that came out of me. They made no sense to anyone but him. He knew what I was saying, what I meant, what I could not help but say. I was answering his questions right there in front of the world and in the open air. Right there I answered him. This was at first, before we were married. After the months and then years of learning this alphabet, I could hear his hand even when it was not on my back. I could sense it coming to my back when he was behind me. I began to feel it even when he was across the room from me. He would look at me, but his look was not hard, not like the others. When I would see him looking at me that way, I felt that look too, as his hand on my back. It began to happen even later as I heard his voice from another room, that his voice came through the doorway to me, that his voice came through the walls to me, that it reached my back as his hand. Finally, through the years, that voice did not stop at my back. It entered me through the shoulder blades and made its way into my spine and then into my dreams. It was his hand, and it spoke all these years what his mouth could not say.
I Heard Him With My Back by Alberto Rios from the book The Theater of the Night, winner of the 2007 Penn Beyond Margins Award. In 2014, Rios was elected a chancellor for the Academy of American Poets. His 2015 book is called A Small Story About the Sky. Next on New Letters on the Air's The Cruelest Month, we'll hear from the 16th U.S. Poet Laureate who succeeded Charles Simic, Kay Ryan. When appointed in 2008 to the post that's formally called the Poet Laureate Consultant in Poetry to the Library of Congress, she told the New York Times she didn't want to be a poet. She came from a self-contained people who didn't believe in public exposure, and public investigation of the heart was rather repugnant. Yet in the end, she couldn't resist poetry. Ryan shares a loving look back with this poem from her book, The Niagara River.
There's never much the shadow of a real person in my poems.
I've noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, it's not my interest. But this really has the shadow of my mother in it. And the title, Things Shouldn't Be So Hard, puts you off the track of where this poem goes. You don't really know what that means till you get to the end of the poem. Things shouldn't be so hard. A life should leave deep tracks, ruts where she went out and back to get the mail or move the hose around the yard, where she used to stand before the sink, a worn-out place. Beneath her hand, the china knobs rubbed down to white pastilles, the switch she used to feel for in the dark, almost erased. Her things should keep her marks. The passage of a life should show. It should abrade. And when life stops, a certain space, however small, should be left scarred by the grand and damaging parade. Things shouldn't be so hard.
Kay Ryan reading Things Shouldn't Be So Hard, which is also included in her Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Best of It, New and Selected Poems. She also introduced the 2009 collection from the Academy of American Poets called Poem in Your Pocket. It contains 200 poems from Shakespeare to Sexton on tear-out pages so you can carry them with you during the day. April 27th is the 2017 Poem in Your Pocket Day, and the Academy has a free download at poets.org of suggested poems for this year, which include works by Alberto Rios and the current U.S. Poet Laureate. Chosen in 2015, California's former Poet Laureate Juan Felipe Herrera is the first Chicano to hold the national post. His love for life exudes from his work, as in this snippet from his award-winning children's book, Laughing Out Loud, I Fly, Poems in English and Spanish, recorded at the Kansas City Public Library in 2016 for the inaugural William H. Hickok Reading Series.
A carcajadas yo vuelo por bien por ver mamá lucha en la banqueta después de la escuela esperando el bus. Laughing out loud, I fly toward the good things. To catch Mama Lucha on the sidewalk after school, waiting for the green striped bus, on the side of the neighborhood store next to Almond's, Jose's tiny wooden mule, the wise boy from San Diego, teeth split apart like mine in the coppery afternoon. It's about 3. The fly smears my ear, but I jump. I'm a monkey cartoon or a chile tamal, crazy with paisley patches, infinite flavors, cinnamon and banana ice cream. It's 3 in the afternoon. No, it's 5. My mother says she will call me and arrive a rainbow.
From the Child's Vision in Laughing Out Loud, I Fly, by U.S. Poet Laureate Juan Felipe Herrera, to a poem that captures a lovely moment in a marriage with young children, Elizabeth Alexander, another chancellor of the Academy of American Poets, reads from her book, American Sublime. Here's the poem, Stray.
On the beach, close to sunset, a dog runs toward us fast. Agitated, perhaps feral, scrounging for anything he can eat. We pull the children close and let him pass. Is there such a thing as a stray child? Simon asks. Like if a mother had a child from her body, but then decided she wanted to be a different child's mother? What would happen to that first child? The dog finds a satisfying scrap and calms. The boys break free and leap from rock to rock. I was a stray man before I met your mother, you say, but they have run on and cannot hear you. How fast they run on, past the dark pool your voice makes, our arms which hold them back. I was a stray man before I met you, you say. This time you are speaking to me.
Stray, by Elizabeth Alexander, from her book American Sublime, a finalist for the 2006 Pulitzer Prize in Poetry. It's also included in Crave Radiance, New and Selected Poems 1990 to 2010. Sadly, her husband has since died, but not before he got to witness her as President Obama's first inaugural poet. She wrote about the experience in The New Yorker in January 2017. Elizabeth Alexander has written an amazing memoir of her marriage and her husband's sudden death called The Light of the World, also a Pulitzer Prize finalist. Loss is a part of love, and examining how art is made out of life is a huge part of our mission here at New Letters on the Air. We've been broadcasting the work of creative writers in their own voices since 1977. Here's another former U.S. Poet Laureate who served from 1993 to 95, Rita Dove. Her book Mother Love was published right afterwards, and The Bistro Styx is a modern twist on the mother-daughter relationship of Demeter and Persephone in Greek mythology.
It's set in modern-day Paris in a completely fictional cafe called the Bistro Styx. The mother is waiting for her daughter, who has been living with a man in Paris. And I thought, what would be hell for a mother who has a daughter? And I thought, yeah, perhaps the worst thing that could happen would be if your daughter were living with a mediocre artist. It was really... You'll hear that it's not a sonnet, but it is, in fact, I believe, 5 sonnets, one after another, to form a narrative. The Bistro Styx. She was thinner, with a mannered gauntness, as she paused just inside the double glass doors to survey the room, silvery cape billowing dramatically behind her. What's this? I thought, lifting a hand until she nodded and started across the parquet. That's when I saw she was dressed all in gray, from a kittenish cashmere skirt and cowl down to the graphite signature of her shoes. Sorry I'm late, she panted, though she wasn't, sliding into the chair, her cape tossed off in a shudder of brushed steel. We kissed. Then I leaned back to peruse my blighted child, this wary aristocratic mole. How's business? I asked, and hazarded a motherly smile to keep from crying out, are you content to conduct your life as a cliché and, what's worse, an anachronism, the brooding artist's demi-monde? Near the Rue Princesse, they had opened a gallery-come-souvenir shop which featured fuzzy off-color Monets next to his acrylics, no doubt, plus bearded African drums and the occasional miniature gargoyle from Notre Dame the great artist had carved at breakfast with a pocket knife. Tourists love us. The Parisians, of course, she blushed, are amused, though not without a certain admiration. The Chateaubriand arrived on a bone-white plate, smug and absolute in its fragrant crust, a black plug steaming like the heart plucked from the chest of a worthy enemy. One touch with her fork sent pink juices steaming. Admiration for what? Wine, a bloody Pinot Noir, brought color to her cheeks. Why, the aplomb with which we've managed to support our art. Meaning he'd convinced her to pose nude for his appalling canvases, faintly futuristic landscapes strewn with car wrecks and bodies being chewed by rabid cocker spaniels. I'd like to come by the studio, I ventured, and see the new stuff. Yes, if you wish. A delicate rebuff before the warning. He dresses all in black now. Me, he drapes in blues and carmine, and even though I think it's kind of cute, in company I tend toward more muted shades. She paused and had the grace to drop her eyes. She did look ravishing, spookily insubstantial, a lipstick ghost on tissue, or as if one stood on a fifth-floor terrace peering through a fringe of rain at Paris's dreaming chimney pots, each sooty issue wobbling skyward in an ecstatic, oracular spiral. And he never thinks of food. I wish I didn't have to plead with him to eat. Fruit and cheese appeared, arrayed on leaf-green dishes. I stuck with café crème. This camembert is so ripe, she joked, it's practically grown hair, mucking a golden glob complete with parsley sprig onto a heel of bread. Nothing seemed to fill her up. She swallowed, sliced into a pear, speared each tear-shaped lavalier, and popped the dripping mess into her pretty mouth. Nowhere the bright tufted fields, weighted vines, and sun poured down out of the south. But are you happy? Fearing, I whispered it quickly. What? You know, mother, she bit into the starry rose of a fig, one really should try the fruit here. I've lost her, I thought, and called for the bill.
The Bistro Sticks from Mother Love by Rita Dove. It's also included in her 2016 collected poems, 1974 to 2004. We should note that this Pulitzer Prize-winning poet also served as one of the special poetry consultants to celebrate the 1999 bicentennial of the Library of Congress with Robert Pinsky, Louise Glick, and W.S. Merwin. Okay, we've heard poems about all types of love. Now we'll circle back to one that combines desire with loss in an unusual way. It's by Donald Hall, who was famously married to the poet Jane Kenyon, a much younger woman. Together, they shared a creative life on his family farm in New Hampshire, where they both served at different times as poets laureate of that state. In 1995, she died from leukemia, and he traces that loss in a memoir called The Best Day, The Worst Day, Life with Jane Kenyon, and in the poetry book, Without. Donald Hall shared his work during the Midwest Poet Series at Rockhurst University in 2007 while he was the U.S. Poet Laureate. This later poem comes from his collection White Apples and the Taste of Stone, 1946 to 2006. It's called Tennis Ball.
I parked by the grave in September, under oaks and birches and said hello again and went walking with Gussie, Gussie was a dog, past markers, roses, and the grave with plastic chickens. Somebody loved somebody who loved chickens. Gus stopped and stared. A woman's long, bare legs stretched up at the edge of the graveyard, a man's body heaving between them. Gus considered checking them out, so I clicked my fingers as softly as I could to distract him and became the unintending source of coitus interruptus. Walking to the car, I peeked. She was restarting him, her head riding up and down. It was a fine day, leaves red, Gus, healthy and gay, refusing to give up his tennis balls.
Tennis ball, now included in the 2015 book, The Selected Poems of Donald Hall. Another memoir called Unpacking the Boxes examines his life before and after Jane Kenyon. We'll end today's celebration of National Poetry Month with the poem we promised at the top. Known for his wit, Billy Collins served as U.S. Poet Laureate from 2001 to 2003 and is still one of America's most popular poets. Here's his take on an old form from his 2003 collection, Nine Horses.
And my poem is called Litany. You are the bread and the knife, the crystal goblet and the wine. You are the dew on the morning grass and the burning wheel of the sun. You are the white apron of the baker and the marsh bird suddenly in flight. However, you are not the wind in the orchard, the plums on the counter, or the house of cards. And you are certainly not the pine-scented air. There is no way you are the pine-scented air. It is possible that you are the fish under the bridge, maybe even the pigeon on the general's head, but you are not even close to being the field of cornflowers at dusk. And a quick look in the mirror will show that you are neither the boots in the corner nor the boat asleep in its boathouse. It might interest you to know, speaking of the plentiful imagery of the world, that I am the sound of rain on the roof. I also happen to be the shooting star, the evening paper blowing down an alley, and the basket of chestnuts on the kitchen table. I am also the moon in the trees and the blind woman's teacup. But don't worry, I am not the bread and the knife. You are still the bread and the knife. You will always be the bread and the knife, not to mention the crystal goblet and, somehow, the wine.
Litany by Billy Collins, now included in his 2014 book, Aimless Love, New and Selected Poems. A new collection called The Rain in Portugal comes out in October 2017. And that's it for The Cruelest Month, our special anthology that pulls from our 40 years of archives. For more, visit newletters.org and click On the Air to listen to recent shows. Click Ways to Listen to sign up for our free podcast or to have our show emailed to you. Follow us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter at New Letters Radio, a production of New Letters Magazine at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Partial funding comes from the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. The Cruelest Month was originally produced with Dennis Conroe and Max Mosley and was a finalist in the 2011 New York Festival's International Best Culture in the Arts Radio Program. Thanks also to assistant producer Jamie Walsh for this remix and to you for listening to New Letters on the Air. I'm Angela Elam.